There are times I have the privilege to counsel people, to give them advice. And more often than not, when I'm talking with someone, I normally encourage them to start reading the Psalms. And if you're not familiar with the Psalms, they are a collection of songs and poems that are heartfelt, that more often than not are able to help us express what we're feeling on the inside. And recently, about a month and a half ago, I realized that I was telling everyone else to read the Psalms, but I hadn't read them in a really long time. So I rededicated myself to reading a psalm a day, and on the 12th day, I read Psalm 12. And in that, it was amazing because all of a sudden, it told me exactly what I was feeling. And more than that, it gave me permission to speak to God in a way that I hadn't spoken in a really long time. Now, we have talked about prayer before. We've talked about its importance, about having these ongoing conversations with the Lord. And we've given you some practical details and tools to hold on to so that you can pray to God. And one of those is this acronym PRAY, P-R-A-Y. And P stands for praise. So it's so important that we stop and we just thank God for what he's done, who he is, how he's working in our lives, how amazing he is. And then R stands for repent. And then we tell God how unamazing we are. We tell him that we're sorry for not keeping his commands perfectly, that we have messed up and we need his forgiveness. And that leads us to A, which is ask. So we ask God for his forgiveness, and I want to assure you that when you say, God, I'm sorry, please forgive me, 100%, every single time, he will absolutely forgive you, wash your sins away because of Jesus Christ. And the other thing, too, is that God is our Heavenly Father, and you parents, your children ask you for gifts all the time, and when it's in your capability to do that, and when you know it's good for your child, you give them these gifts. And God wants you to ask as well. It's okay to ask God for good things. It's okay to ask for yourself and for other people. And then finally, we encourage you to end your prayer with yielding. Why? And that means that, okay, God, I've asked for all these things, but you first. If I've asked for anything that's not good for me, that could potentially harm me, then not what I want, but what you want. So that's our acronym, PRAY. Now today in Psalm 12, the inspired King David is going to add one more letter to our acronym, and that is the letter C. And so now we have, instead of pray, we have prick. And it's so weird that you're going to remember it, okay? P-R-A-Y-C. And that the C stands for complain. Now, the rest of Scripture, you look at the New Testament, I looked this up the other day, I found plenty of passages that demand that we do not complain or grumble about each other, about serving one another. Absolutely. And what David is going to show us today does not contradict that one bit. What David is giving us permission to do is to complain about sin. That we have the right to bring our grievances about the state of our world, our community, our own sinful flesh to God and complain about it to him. And in fact, what we're going to talk about today is that it's healthy to get these things off your chest, to talk to God about them. Now, in Psalm 12, David is giving us permission to be real with God. You know, it's funny how many times I've prayed, and in my prayers, normally it's in my mind, right? I'm about to say something to God, and I'm like, no, that's too harsh, or that's too selfish, or that's not probably the best words to use with God. And the whole time I'm doing that in my mind, guess who's listening? God. Like, I'm trying to make it sound so perfect for God, and he's like, Dan, I can hear you. Just say it, right? It's the same for you. God knows what is on your heart. He knows what you're feeling. He knows what you want to say, and he gives you that ability to just come to him and get your complaints off your chest, because God wants this, because he wants to step into your life to help you. He wants to be there to help you. So this is what David says in the beginning verses. He says, help, Lord, for no one is faithful anymore. Those who are loyal have vanished from the human race. Everyone lies to their neighbor. They flatter with their lips, but harbor deception in their hearts. Did he just summarize for you what you've been feeling for a really long time? Everybody's a liar. Nobody's faithful. Nobody's loyal. All the neighbors, what do? They just flatter with their lips. The original Hebrew actually says they're smooth talkers. They tell you what you want to hear to your face, but then they talk smack about you behind your back. Who can we trust anymore? Let's just dive into that for a second. Politicians are constantly talking out of both sides of their mouths. Most will promise something but never fulfill that promise. Recently, they just pour out lies when the evidence clearly shows that they're lying, and they don't care. You have the news. The news is no longer news. You have partisan opinions, celebrity gossip. When have you ever watched the news and you've gotten both sides of the story? And then neighbors. You're talking with your neighbors, and they're chatting you up like your best friends, but 2 seconds later, they're talking to the other neighbor and complaining about how bad your lawn looks. Or teachers. Are they teaching what you're teaching your kids, or are they undermining everything that you stand for? And then churches, they're a dime a dozen. You can find one practically on every corner, but how many of them are actually teaching God's truth? Or how many are just teaching what people want to hear instead of what people need to hear? Everybody's a liar. At least that's what it feels like. And that's what it felt like for King David. We don't know the exact context in which he's writing the psalm. We don't know exactly what's going on in his life, but he's feeling overwhelmed. He's at this point where he knows things need to be changed, but he feels powerless to change them. But even still, he feels the need to get it off his chest. But instead of bottling up his frustrations, what does he do? He wrote them down. He allowed himself to process his feelings and complained about them to God. And what does he say to start off? He says, "Help, Lord. Look at the state of the world. I need your help. I need your salvation. I need you to step into this situation to rescue us." If you're feeling overwhelmed by life right now and you feel like there's nothing you can do, nothing you can say to make things better, I want you to pay attention to what David does here. Maybe you're upset because of a personal issue between someone you love, a family member or a friend. Maybe you are distraught over the incessant and mindless shootings that are going on in our country right now. Maybe you're troubled by the senseless wars that are disrupting supply chains, displacing innocent people, and taking the lives of so many others. Whatever it is, whatever's frustrating you, don't keep it to yourself. Talk to God about it. Write to God about it. If you need to sing a song about it, sing a song about it. But no matter what you do, don't bottle it up on the inside. Get it off your chest. Talk about it. Pray about it. And I know what I'm telling you is probably different than what you've been trained to do. A lot of people in our society have been trained to be very stoic. That don't show your emotions. Don't show that you're sad or you're mad or you're angry. Don't do that, because if you do, if you show your emotions, if you let your feelings fly, people are going to think that you're weak or feeble. We always have to give the impression that we're strong and nothing's wrong. But isn't that exhausting? Isn't it? Isn't it hard? Like, oh, I feel this way, but I can't express it. Pretending everything all right is not easy or fun or good for you. But you know what's cool about the Bible? It does not mince words. It doesn't go along with this false narrative. In fact, it undoes it. And it reveals that you can be strong and emotional and have feelings and be vulnerable all at the same time. You can be strong and emote your feelings. It's okay. You know, who would have ever accused King David, the giant slayer, this mighty warrior, of being a wuss? Who? Right? This guy was a warrior. He was like the Rambo of his day. Constantly going to battle for his country, for his comrades, for his family. And yet, the guy is super emotional. He wears his heart on his sleeve. He talks about his feelings. He writes about them. He sings about them. He identifies and processes his feelings. And to this day, his words written in the Psalms are still comforting millions and millions of people. And now think about Jesus Christ. the descendant of King David. He wasn't much different. Jesus was a man's man. He was strong and powerful, resolute in the face of opposition. He never backed down when confronted with adversity, and yet he was always tender. He was compassionate. He wasn't afraid to show his emotions. In fact, one of the most famous, one of the shortest verses in the Bible found in John 11 says, Jesus, fill in the blank, Jesus what? Wept. He cried at a funeral. His really good friend Lazarus had passed away. And Jesus didn't show up and go, no, it's just the wind. I got something stuck in my eyes. No big deal. I'm good. No, he wept. He got it off his chest. And did that demonstrate that Jesus was weak? No. Jesus was teaching us how to be human. It's okay to be strong and cry. We have to stop believing the lie that we can't express what we're feeling on the inside, no matter how raw it is. And so get it off your chest. Say it out loud to God and let God deal with it. And this next verse is going to be a great demonstration of what it means to be raw with God. He says, may the Lord silence all flattering lips and every boastful tongue. Those who say, by our tongues we will prevail, our own lips will defend us. Who is the Lord over us? So the NIV, the translation we're using here, kind of softens the Hebrew. You could almost take it as him saying, God, you know, would you shush my enemies? You know, shh, 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 shh. Guys, that's naughty. Stop that. That's not what he's saying here. The original Hebrew, they give us the G version here. The R version is, he says, cut off their lips. Cut off their tongue. That's pretty intense, right? That's how angry, that's how raw he is. He doesn't massage it for the Lord. He's like, this is how frustrated I am right now. And you can imagine, this guy's a warrior. He's seen hand-to-hand combat. So these are the words that David uses. That's why he's so graphic. But this here is an example of an unfiltered prayer. David is writing down what's on his heart. He was fed up with people lying to their neighbors instead of loving their neighbors. He was sick of people calling God their Savior, but being unwilling to submit to God as their Lord. And so he wrote down what he was feeling. Now, I am not saying that we should all go around praying this prayer word for word. Okay? I'm not asking you to ask God to cut off the lips of bad people. I don't necessarily agree that we should be praying that prayer. What I am saying, though, and what David is saying, is that we have permission to get whatever's on our chest off of it. You have permission to bring your unfiltered complaints to our Father in heaven. Now, let me be crystal clear. You do not have permission to complain about these things and now take matters into your own hands. Vengeance and justice belong to the Lord, and what you get to do is now bring these things to the hands of the Almighty God and say, here, you deal with them. That's what David was doing. And God then responds in the middle of his psalm. This is what he says. Because the poor are plundered and the needy groan, I will now arise, says the Lord. I will protect them from those who malign them. So the Almighty God, who promises that he blesses all those generations that love him and keep his commandments, he steps up and he also promises that he will curse those who break his commands. And he says, I will arise. I will protect those who are poor. I will protect those who are needy. And how does God normally do that? How does God protect the poor? How does he take care of the needy? Normally he does that through his vast army of believers. Think about this. More often than not, if you read through the Bible, you'll find out that when God's people cried out for help, God would send them a helper. He would send them leaders, godly leaders, to help get them out of their situations. Moses, Joshua, Samson, Gideon, Deborah, Esther, Nehemiah, Ezra, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Daniel, the apostles, and obviously Jesus Christ. God normally protects his people by using people. And I know many of you in this room, many of you who are listening online, you have big hearts. You care about your neighbors. You care about your families. You care about your communities. But sometimes you're overwhelmed. Sometimes you feel oppressed. Sometimes you feel like you don't have the capability or the resources to help the way that you want to help. And when I was a student in I was in seminary, I was a student pastor, and God taught me an amazing lesson about this. So I was getting to know my congregation, and I loved them. And I heard about their struggles, I heard about their needs, and I wanted to help every single one of them. But it became too much for me. I mean, literally at night, I could not sleep because my mind was racing constantly. Like, how do I help this person? How do I do this to make sure that they're feeling better? And I need to come up with this Bible passage. And it was too much. And I know I was stressing myself out. I was running on empty. And finally, I was pouring out my complaints to God about the sins of the world and the struggles that his people were going through. And he put this prayer in my heart, and I'm so thankful for it because it literally saved me. But the prayer was this: God, I'm not the Savior. You are. That was it. God, I'm not the Savior. You are. And declaring that out loud gave me so much peace because it reminded me that with or without me, God was going to take care of his people. Listen, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our God, is in control. He's the Savior. You are not. He is the one who gave up his life for the world and then 3 days later on Easter Sunday took it back again. He is the Almighty God. He has the power to save. He has the power to help the oppressed, and he distributes that power to his people. So there are times when God is calling you to step up and help. But sometimes, and this is what God taught me too, is that sometimes he's calling you to pray, to say, God, is there someone else that can help this person that has better resources, that maybe has shared experiences that they can be a blessing to them? Now, there are times here at church where I will call one of you and I'll say, hey, could you go visit this person? Could you go talk with this individual? They need some encouragement. And I probably haven't told you this, but the reason I'm calling you, I'm texting you, I'm reaching out to you is because God put you on my heart and said, Dan, you're not capable of helping this person, but these people are. And maybe as you're contemplating that, you're like, wow, what a privilege. I get to reach out. I get to help this individual. I get to encourage them. It might come to your mind and say, you know, maybe I'm just the bridge. Maybe I'm not the right person, but there's another person that God is calling, and I need to reach out to them, that they have the capability. We're not the Savior. God is, but God uses his people to bless his people. And though at times we feel like everybody's a liar, nobody's faithful, everybody's disloyal, the reality is God has this massive family of believers, and when we call on God, he mobilizes his children on behalf of the oppressed. Bring your unfiltered complaints to the complaint desk. Bring them before God, and he will listen to you, and he will respond. And most commonly, the way God responds to us 99% of the time is through his written word, the Bible. And this is what David says. And the words of the Lord are flawless. Would you read that yellow part with me? The words of the Lord are flawless. Like silver purified in a crucible, like gold refined 7 times. You, Lord, will keep the needy safe and will protect us forever from the wicked who freely strut about when what is vile is honored by the human race. There are always going to be those who honor the vileness of this world, and yet David is able to rejoice in God because he has his word, this flawless word. There's only one thing in this world of lies that rings true time in and time again, and it is God's word. We call it the Bible. And David says it's like gold refined 7 times, and it's cool because the number 7 in the Bible signifies completion. God's word is complete. It's all we need. It's everything that we need to get through our daily lives. Now, there are some people that don't believe this. There are some people that push back and say, you know what? The Bible was written down by men, so I don't trust it. Well, let me push back on that thought and ask you a question. Is there anything that you believe that wasn't written down by a human being? Is there anything that you do in this life that isn't influenced by the opinion of another man or another woman? And if not, what gives them greater credibility than the authors that penned the book of the Bible? What gives them greater authority than the 40-plus authors that Scripture says were inspired by God? Isn't that amazing? So we find out that there are approximately 40 authors over a 1,500-year period that were given God's word. And even though they speak with different voices and different points of view, they always come back to the same truth, that there's one God who is worthy of our praise, and there's one way to meet that God, and it's through faith in Jesus Christ, our helper. The word of God is flawless. And Jesus himself, he calls us out, and he says, I give you a challenge. And in John chapter 7, verse 17, I always forget where it's at, but now, because of this psalm, it's refined seven times. So because it's refined seven times, 7:17, okay? So take a look at this. Jesus says, anyone who chooses to do the will of God will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. So if you're doubting right now, you're like, I don't know if this is God's word, Jesus says, try it out. Try it out. Try to do what I say. Implement my commands and see if you won't be blessed. And you can determine then from your own experience, is this God's word or is this man's? And I hope you come to the conclusion that David came to, that every word of the Lord is flawless. And because it's flawless, you and I can bring our unfiltered complaints before the Lord and ask for his help. Because the word of the Lord is flawless, we can trust that he is going to mobilize his people when we come to him and ask for his help. And that's why no matter how vile the world is around us, like King David here in Psalm 12, we can rejoice in God, who is our Savior, because we are not. Let's pray. Lord, you're amazing. And it's awesome that we can bring to you our complaints about this world. Sometimes my complaints are about me, the sin that lives inside of me, God. You are the only solution. Your word is flawless, and we ask for your help. And God, we pray that you would mobilize your church, mobilize us to be a light in this dark world where there are people that only lie all the time. God, forgive us if we're part of that group. Forgive us for being disloyal. Forgive us for being unfaithful. Lord, refine us. Make us like your word, refined seven times over. Help us to be made in your image, God, so that when people hear us, when we declare that we are Christians, that not only our words speak truth, but that our lives reflect that truth as well, Lord. God, we need you now more than ever before. It feels like this world is falling apart, so help us. And we rely that you will, because you are our Savior, you are our rock. Amen.